And we're live. Here we go. Final episode of the year. We got the full squad up. Yeah, it should be a good one. I'm sure no one's here yet, but we're going to start anyway. Ian, you're the right beside me today to my left, right, whichever way. How's it going?
Yeah.
Put him in the center. Good. Put him in the center.
Put me in the center. Yeah, come on.
Oh, wait, no.
Mikey doesn't even know how to run this shit, bro.
Nah, dude. Nope. Oh, God.
Yeah. Come on, Mike.
Oh. Yeah, let me stop.
Yes, let's leave it like that.
So anyway, hi, all you cool cats and kids. How are you? No, yeah, it's going great. Win against Torino. Losing all the bets. You know, life is peachy. All things considered, I'm the only one wearing a Santa hat, even though I said everyone should put a Santa hat on. So, fuck you guys.
I tried. I genuinely did.
Your authority seemed like Frank de Boer, so no one really gives a fuck what you say.
Dude.
Bad joke.
Dude.
Oh, wait. I never tweeted out the link.
Wow, Mikey.
That
you weren't up for it today, huh? We're forcing you to pod today.
Hey, man. It's been a day. I will tell you that. But, yeah, how's it going? How's it going, Dave?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. As the four usual followers could see, like, I got a different background. I'm out of town. I'm visiting my parents. Had to find a quiet spot in the house to record real quick because I'm not going to miss a pod again. I feel good, man. We won today in a manner that's opposite of what we've been doing the last four or five matches. We won in a professional manner. We scored a goal, and we never were really threatened to concede. You know, I would have liked for us to score a second one. We did have a couple opportunities, including Lautaro and stuff like that. But all in all, we managed the game very well, and we got the 3 points. That's all that matters, man. At this point, it's the winter. That was the last match of the first half of the season. We finished the best way possible. There's really nothing to complain about.
Yeah, for sure. That's the best way to sum it up, pretty much. But Hristo's back. He's got the France top this time. Had the Germany top last time he was on.
I'm going for all the World War II shirts. So
we gotta have a kit. We gotta have you doing like a kit a week or something. We gotta make this a bit.
I mean, I don't have that many shirts, but like I have tons of winter shirts, so I need to wear them more often. That's for sure.
Any kind of shirt. Well, you just got to tell us. Even if you're just wearing a t-shirt, you got to explain to us what the t-shirt is.
What's the t-shirt?
That's what I'm going to do to you every week.
I need the 2013 Red Kid. You know, you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
My God, bro.
That was horrible.
Oh, my
God.
You didn't like the Red Kid?
I am looking for a Sprite kit with Stevan Jovetic on the back. If anyone knows it, where to get one, hit me up, please.
I have a blank.
Wait,
Sprite.
Do we even have? We had Jovetic on the team when we had that Sprite kit.
I don't
kit?
Think so. I don't.
Yeah,
don't
we did. So. We did.
No, that
yeah.
was the year before. That was the year before.
No, it was because I remember vividly.
Really? Because I remember. Sure I remember we had Icardi. Season. We had Gabigol.
Yeah, that was the Gabigol year.
Wait, let me
Maybe
check.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, why are you changing?
I think we still have Palacio still, no?
Oh.
Yeah, we were dragging Palacio's corpse around.
But... okay, so if anyone has a Palacio Sprite kit, hit me up.
That's top dollar.
You know, this match today has been interesting for a lot of reasons, and I think the main reason being that, as Dave pointed out, this is the last match of the year, both calendar and the half season. So far, it's been an interesting, month and a half for us. We haven't conceded a goal in how many matches? Like six matches straight in Serie A we haven't conceded. Yeah. It's quite the accomplishment. And today was the match that needed a lot of rotation, which we kind of got with Vidal, but in the same side, not really, because Barella was missing and he's crucial for both our tactics and whatnot. It was supposed to be the hardest and the toughest match out of them all in the past month or so, but it turned out to be, you know, breezy because Torino didn't threaten at all. They're missing some key players as well. But when I saw, oh my God, bro, when I saw Piazza, I was like, not this guy, like not this guy. You can score. I don't know what. And Saldi and Piazza give me the X. I don't want to see their faces. That was it. And you know, it's been a professional match, a professional win. No hard feelings for both sides. You know, I think Torino is happy that they didn't get trashed. Their streak really continues. The streak of, you know, not being humiliated for a team like Torino, which was a relegation battle last year, is still an accomplishment. I think they have a decent team. And considering Inter wants Bremer, you know, things are looking more and more accomplished for Inter as the season goes along. And hopefully, Mike, we can proceed with now with Napoli losing to Spezia. We can be at least, what, 6 points, 7 points ahead of them?
It's really, yeah, that would be six ahead of them, I believe.
If they lost, I'd be seven ahead of them.
Seven? Oh, I'm not going to math.
Wow. Seven points ahead of someone that was, like, what, 7 points ahead of you
ahead of
a
us,
month
yeah.
ago?
A month ago, yeah. That's 14 points.
That's a
turnaround.
Special right there.
Yeah. We know how that works.
I forgot about that. But Milan is winning.
Yeah, I mean. But to get back to the match today, you know, Juric is a good coach. I mean, his Verona teams always gave us trouble. So, I mean, I'm happy to come out of that with a win. I only watched the first half. I was pretty busy today. It doesn't look like I missed much of the second or in the second half. But just to catch myself up, what happened in the second half? Hristo, tell me. Keep me updated.
Nothing happened, if I'm being honest. It was a lot of going back and forward. How many chain? Like, the Danish guy that Juric brought in, Magnus Warming, he was decent. I really liked him. He was very tough in the challenges that he made. But, like, Torino had a few chances that were not really promising, I would say. You could see that the pattern that Inter used and the tactics that Inter used were gonna pan out at the end of the day, because Bastoni was, I don't know, composed as ever. I really liked him today. Skriniar and De Vrij were on par. Handanovic didn't have much work to do because the guys in front of him shut down every single opportunity that Torino had. I didn't feel like a second of the match that we were going to concede. Although on times shaky, I think you could see the, you know, the concentration falling down, which was expected after so many matches, which were not long, that there was no really a break in between them. So yeah, I'm always happy with the second half, considering we got to rest some key players. Vecino got a chance. He didn't really perform that good, I would say. He was pretty trash. So yeah, I'm happy that the second half went along and we didn't concede. So as long as we win at least 1-0, and if it is a win without us conceding a goal, it's another big win for us and another big win in my books.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there were days where, you know, this match would have ended 0-0, what, like 4 or 5 years ago? So, I mean, we're kind of spoiled now. Like, we're like, what the fuck? Why was it not a 4-0, 5-1, like, trash fest? But, like, I mean, I'll take a 1-0 every now and then. Bastoni really stood out to me in that first half. He was definitely the best of the defenders. I mean, Sanabria didn't really threaten too much. I mean, that didn't really give De Vrij especially, like, anything really to do. And then what else happened? Vidal got his first start of the season. He looked okay in the first half. Oh, that was you look like a cat vomiting right there. I thought he did okay in the first half. I saw some people in the second half saying, like, oh yeah, we're really missing Barella here. Dave, do you think that was true? How did you feel on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do agree that we did miss Barella to a certain extent, but I feel like Vidal did what he's supposed to be doing, just come in and put in a shift in a match that he doesn't get much starts. Like you said, that was his first start of the season. You know, we're never going to be the same team without Barella, because this guy does so much for the team on all phases, defensively and on the attack and everything. You know, Vidal doesn't have the legs at this point of his career to cover what Barella does for us. So, of course, we're going to miss Barella. But the thing is, I mean, at the end of the day, it was enough. What Vidal offered was enough for us to get the job done against a tough side, may we add, because let's put respect on Juric's name. That he's been one of the best managers in Italy the past 3 years. His Hellas Verona side are well documented. You know, Torino were respectable today, in my opinion. They didn't have enough to trouble us, with Belotti being out for the next 2 months, and they were using a guy, Sanabria, who's not even a pure striker, is not a goal scorer, so we weren't really threatened. But to answer your question, yeah, I think we did miss Barella, but I'm glad now in retrospect, I guess I could say I'm glad he got that yellow card last match and got to rest, because the more we could save him, the better it will be for us. And a clean sheet, a win, there's nothing we could complain about. We could nitpick and say, okay, you know what, Vidal could have done this or could have done that, but at the end of the day, he did what he needed to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Salernitana was, of course, last Friday. That was the 17th. There's not another match till the 6th, so that's close to a month of rest for Barella, which, I mean, given the past year and a half, 2 years he's had, like, that's great to have. I mean, you really need that guy to have some rest. Next, we need Brozovic to have some rest, because, I mean, that guy, even though we always talk about it, he's not going to accept rest. He's probably just going to go out there, whether his name's on the team sheet or not.
Or not, yeah.
Yeah. But, Ian, who stood out to you today? Did you think, speaking of Brozovic, that he meant the little dummy on the Dumfries goal, or do you think that was just chance?
I think he played it off well, thinking, making us think it was intentional. Like, I'm sure he wanted to do something with it, but he just didn't do what he wanted to do it, and it all worked out in the end. So, yeah, I still think he played very well. He got marked and pressed out the fuck out of him today. Even when you see our goal kicks, we couldn't do anything, because they were pressing so high far up the pitch. Even in the build-up, like, you could see Brozovic dropping back deep, and I could constantly see either Skriniar or Bastoni pushing up forward, bombing up forward with Brozovic and another, like, center midfielder staying back. So I think in that aspect, we did great. Also like to point out the fact, Handanovic, 6 games in a row, clean sheet in the league. Thank you very much.
Ranocchia, 6 games in the league.
I mean, I don't understand why does Risto automatically get offended every time somebody says something positive about Handanovic?
It's a Balkan thing. We just hate our own.
He's in that camp with Sia over there, just Handanovic haters club, population 2.
At this point, man, the numbers don't lie. It's not like he's playing out of his mind.
He's getting some help. Like, I mean, when you got those 3 guys in front of you.
Of course, Mikey, but we've had those 3 guys in the beginning of the season as well. The thing is, like, he's getting down and making saves that he's expected to make, you know? And I'm pretty sure that was the plan of the management by even not making getting a goalkeeper a priority last summer. Being that, okay, you know what? We got a pretty good defense. We had the best defense in the league last year when we won the championship. Let's just let this guy stay in front of that defense another year and we should be fine. And it's starting to look like we will be fine. You know?
True. But
let's not overreact.
All I'll say is 8 long passes in the first half, 8 long passes in the second half. This man is reinventing the goalkeeping role as Neuer did.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He's like the GR now. He's like the goal register. picking balls, dictating play from the goal.
I wanted to add that real quick.
I had made a tweet about Dzeko, saying, because the first half he wasn't doing much. Second half, same thing as well. I wanted him taken off and Sanchez brought on, because we all know Sanchez's form. But I want to take that back because I see after I made that tweet, I saw why Inzaghi kept them in because they were pressing us so much, man, that we could not build up from the back. We could not build up or play the regular way, which brings me back to Ian's point. Handanovic was pretty much a regista because they would not let Brozo play. He was having all those direct balls straight to Dzeko, and Dzeko would just knock it down either to Sanchez or to Lautaro, and that was the only way we were able to play, more or less. So that's credit to Juris because everybody knows it. His team, like, they're pressed very well. They're a tireless team. So I'm more happy than you guys think with this win because I was okay with a draw after the run of form that we've been in. And I was expecting us to pretty much get caught with our pants down, like, okay, expecting more of the same and then get punched in the mouth. But It didn't happen. So, like, I feel like that shows so much of our character as champions. That's something that I want to tip my hat out to the players for that, and Inzaghi as well.
See, I wouldn't be happy with a draw just because of the quality we have over Torino. At the end of the day, We are the champions of Italy. We have one of the, say what you want about his form or anything, or whatever you want to say about Lautaro, he is one of the best strikers in the league. We have probably the best midfield in the league, if you ask me. We have probably the best defense in the league, the best playing goalkeeper, regista, Mazzala, whatever you want to call him in the league. I won't say one of the best tacticians, but yeah, we have a very, very good coach in Inzaghi, a group of players that has been together for a long time and knows what they're doing. And I will say I do like the versatility that we showed when Torino was pressing up high up. So we can see that we're not just comfortable playing out of our own box, short passes between the center backs, overlapping, stuff like that, that we can also play the long ball, header to Perisic, header to Brozo, to Dzeko, something like that.
Dumfries as well.
To Dumfries as well. He's like 1.89 meters. That's like 6'3", 6'4", almost, you know? I will say I was surprised that it worked that efficiently against Juric, especially knowing Torino, all right, this year maybe not as good, but they could be better. They could be doing better. No, but yeah, I think all in all, it was a great win, even if it was a 1-0. The championships are won on the little games against the small teams. If you can't grind out the results against them, it doesn't matter if we beat Napoli 3-2. It doesn't mean if last year we won only against Milan 4-2 or whatever it was, all those games, if we won against Juventus 2-1, but we lost against all the bottom teams, we wouldn't win the championship. What are the big wins for if you don't capitalize on the smaller teams?
Great point. And that's something Inter have, you know, become accustomed to doing well. I mean, I remember the days of being like, oh God, like we play Crotone like next week. They're resting all their guys this week to go like World Cup mode against us or something. And like now it's kind of the tables have turned and you see teams like kind of come out scared or at least come out giving us some credit. And like they take advantage of it. Like these guys know what they're doing.
And real quick. But I wanted to say this real quick. I'm on point. I'm on board with Ian with all the points that he just made about why we should have expected a win. But the reason why I said that I would have been okay with a draw is because I guess it's more it had all the makings of being a trap game for us. Mind you, last match day Napoli beat Milan, so we got more or less a little breathing room. Like we were 4 points ahead of them. So meaning like in one match day, they can't surpass us. That's one thing. We've been running up the score on the other team. So that mentally, we were probably not expecting a battle, you know? So to me, all of those things were little mental things that could have had us come into the game more relaxed or whatever, and then get caught up on surprise. So that's why I'm saying that, hey, listen, this is something that we should definitely give Inzaghi credit for and the players credit for making sure that we're as prepared as they needed to be, you know, because they're about to go on holiday. That's another reason for them to be like, oh, you know what, let's just mail this one in, you know, type of stuff. But I'm happy. I think
we're forgetting one major fact here. Mm-hmm. I think that mindset is like 4 or 5 years old. Not saying anything. 4 or 5 years ago, we probably wouldn't win half the games that we're winning 100%. Now. 100%. Yeah, because now we won a Scudetto in between. We had Conte as a coach for 2 years, who was doing with the hell
mentality, trying, mentality
yeah,
monster.
The mentality yeah. shift. Now having Inzaghi, who's just elevating that even further. You see the difference in play, the way even players respond in the press conferences after, saying they have more freedom. They can build on what Conte taught them, like the winning part, and then just add freedom, the flair to it, you know, so it is more enjoyable. It's not just PlayStation football of ping pong and it, you know, the same tactics over and over again, because we saw against Juventus last year, the reverse fixture, so the one we lost. They pretty much had us figured out, you know, even at the Cup, they had us figured out what we're going to do, because with Conte, as much as I love him, he is a PlayStation coach. You exactly know, okay, center back's going to pass here, he's going to pass there, he's going to overrun there. You know, it's proven tactic, you know.
Yeah,
that's 100%. Why with Inzaghi, I like what he's doing. You know, who would expect for a center back to go play striker in Bastoni? So you play the long ball from Handanovic to Perisic. Perisic knocks it back. Bastoni goes one-on-one with the keeper.
That was crazy. One. Yeah, that one that he should have scored that. Good shout. Good shout. Very good shout, Ian. Yeah, when I saw that in the match, I was like, yo, this guy Inzaghi's doing some crazy shit with the tactics. And that's from a goal kick, for crying out loud. Okay, that was from a goal kick. That means he sent Bastoni up there. Like, that was crazy to me, man. Like,
We even saw, like, Brozovic, Calhanoglu, Vidal staying back, you know, so the center backs can go for it, because I don't think even Torino anticipated that we're going to do that. I don't think anyone in the world would anticipate for us to do that.
Inzaghi is, like, he's showing that he knows his stuff. I guess that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to take advantage of, like, or center back, and I guess Dumfries as well's high advantage. By playing the long ball to them. And for that, the shorter players like Brozo and Hakan, he just had them covered for those players. That's beautiful football, beautiful tactical football.
It's a brilliant adjustment because, I mean, early in the season, like, we were complaining, like, good God, we can't win a ball in the air. And that was bringing us so much pressure. So, I mean, when you look at it, like, as someone who's watched Inter the entire season, like, it makes sense. But I get, like, if you have not watched Inter this season and you're like, wait, that's your center back and on goal right now on a counter.
I was like, why Perisic running like that? But then I realized it's Bastoni.
Yeah, I thought it was Calhanoglu. I was like, oh, like, he's about to finish.
You got no business being up there.
He was out there, dude. But I'm just glad to see us, you know, winning some headers. I want to go back to the Handanovic thing, because I did notice it in that first half. Like, he would get the ball back, and he would just kind of stand there for a minute. He'd survey the field. He would just be looking for that ball. Like, it looked like there was going to be some kind of set play from when he, you know, finally did kick it long. And it worked. And I think Inzaghi, as much as, you know, he's not the tactician that Conte was, I feel like he is learning on the job. Like, I feel like he's developing his football even more. I mean, he's still not been a manager for what, like 5-6 years now? Like, he's still very new to this. And, like, I mean, for him to be at the level he's at this soon is something that, like, I think people need to pay attention to. Like, this guy's going to do something. I really think he's a really smart coach. And I'm glad that he now has the squad to express probably these visions he had at Lazio. But, like, I mean, you've got Immobile, you've got a decent midfield, but then, like, outside of that, like, I mean, the rest of the team was kind of mediocre. So now he's got a team that, you know, has a higher level, can play at that higher level, and he can institute more. And it's something I really like, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more of in the future. Like, just seeing where he goes, because he's got a lot more, you know, football to develop.
Absolutely. I mean, and one more thing I wanted to add.
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Russell.
I just wanted to say that his ideas are, like, refreshing, and as they said, like, the game had a lot of signs of complacent from Inter's side, from them not winning a match that was supposed to be won, and, you know, separating themselves from the rest of the herd, and that's something that Inter hasn't done in previous seasons, but we have seen that this Inter, especially this season's Inter, although few key players left, is a different team and a different club overall. And they've been playing a free-flowing football. And it's not something that it's very unlike Inter. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, we're used to suffer ball.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, and Mike Tarazzi on Twitter, he had posted a tweet that everybody liked. I'm sure you guys seen it. He was like, "Please stop. We're Inter fans. We used to suffering."
Yeah.
And I felt that. It was like everything was just so business as usual. We were just handling business, beating teams that we needed to beat handily, and then we're just on Twitter just talking shit, not even worried about when the team's gonna choke the match away. So that's a good feeling. That's something that we're not used to. I'm sure Juve fans are used to that shit. Like, yeah, we're gonna win. Let's just, you know what I mean? But us, it's like, oh, okay, what's gonna happen? You know, but
especially when you see Cyril Terol entering the game. That's it.
Who?
Cyril Terol from Udinese.
Yeah, and he was at Fiorentina for a bit too.
Don't get me started.
Well, I mean, I just remember like those matches, you know, when you know you get a lead, you get to about the 85th minute, and then you're like, all right, we're taking it 1 minute at a time. If we could just make it through the next minute.
Listen, you don't know, bro, because me, I'm superstitious, bro. So I stay like that. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to move. I'm thirsty. I'm not going to drink no water. I want to pee. I'm not going to go pee yet. If I move, something's going to happen. Bro. You guys have no clue what this team puts me through on a regular basis. Bro.
Oh, no, I don't any Inter, like, official tweets or, like, Instagram posts. I don't like them during games. If, like, you know, they're announcing something during the game, I'm like, no, I just.
So we all got our superstitions then, yeah.
Can we just talk about the Inter official media team? Like, what the fuck? They're posting with, like, what, 10, 15 minutes delay every time?
What's going on? Like, for real.
Like, we score a goal. Okay, scenario. We score a goal 1-0, 10th minute. Okay, they're going to tweet it out in 25th minute. Meanwhile, we could be losing 3-1 or 2-1 already. It's just going to be, yes, Lautaro goal. Oh, wait, we're 2-1 down. Fuck.
I wonder if that has to do with any, like, media contracts and stuff that, like, you can't be live tweeting that close because, you know, people want to, like, post their clips and stuff, like CBS or Dazen or whoever has sense. What.
Good shout. Yeah, good shout.
That makes sense.
If not, Inter, hire Thomas for media manager.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, he can't be that much worse than the current one.
Listen, if I'm not watching the game,
just
bro,
don't
I'll,
let
just
him
go fo- I'll just
anything.
Go
just
follow
don't
Thomas,
let him
bro.
Because
Thomas... You're going to leave my boy alone with that translation, man. But yeah, that guy, man, he's on it, like, minute by the minute.
Yeah, for sure.
Questions? I see some comments.
Yeah, we have some comments going on. Let me go ahead and catch these up before we move on to other things. Y'all good over there?
They're having some Balkan inside jokes over there.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like telepathic at this point.
Yeah, because I didn't hear nothing.
I'm just laughing at the Thomas and his translation.
that was bad.
Then Mikey.
Hey, it's all love. I mean, that's my guy out here. We give him some love sometimes. So let's see. Let me go through. Let me update.
It's free
comments.
Publicity for him, so you know, he should be happy.
Yeah, follow at FCIM Thomas on Twitter.
Or don't.
Yeah. Don't. Inter extra if you want some questionable Inter news.
Wow.
it's almost always good.
Again,
it's
like,
always
like,
always
like
good.
I like to say, we are the brothers of the world. Each of our views represent our own views. Okay, so if Mikey throws shade, that doesn't mean the rest of us are throwing shade. Maybe Ian and Risto, because they're like the drama. But me, I'm
it's okay. I mean, I get it. I couldn't translate it. It's work.
Clearly, he couldn't either, right? Yeah. That was low hanging fruit. I'm sorry. Thomas. You know it's all love, Thomas.
Thomas catching strays. Come on now. this is gonna make a great clip. I need to write down the minutes. This is gonna
tweet
it out. I was just gonna send it in the group chat. The minute.
Wow, Napoli just lost, bro. Okay, finally.
Okay, so yep. All right. Pinamonti scored a penalty.
Juan Jesus scored an own goal for Napoli, so it's a big day for Inter today.
Oh yeah.
Juan Jesus right. Inter legend. Yeah. Pantera legend. How is still this man still employed in the top flight of Italian football? He's been bouncing around Inter, Juan
Roma, I'm gonna say one thing. Napoli. If if Thomas can actually have work and he's employed, Juan Jesus can too. Imagine Juan Jesus and Thomas translating tweets.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but listen, like, speaking of Juan Jesus, that's funny because I remember
awful,
when
awful.
Mourinho was complaining about not having him on the bench.
Imagine.
And if he had him on the bench, he would be complaining about him having at the club at all. So, you know.
100%. Well, but listen, now that we touched on that real quick, what do you guys think is going to happen? Because, I was expecting Milan to drop points today. I'm not going to lie, just based on their form, I expected them to at least get a draw. At least one of the teams that were chasing us, they did drop points in Napoli. Milan is still behind us 4 points. What do you think is going to happen in, let's say, the next 4 or 5 match weeks? Do you guys see us starting to run away with it? Because our schedule is tough, but I do feel like we're still a level above everybody else in the league. So do you guys see us starting to pull away, or do you guys see the title race getting a little tighter in the next coming matches?
Well, you know, we talk about how hard our January is going to be, our like little winter window, whatever. But I mean, looking at Milan, they don't have it very easy either. I mean, they get Milan gets Jesus Christ. And Milan gets Roma right after the break, January 6th. But then they have Venezia. That's not a big deal. Genoa in the Coppa, Spezia. Then Juve and us back to back. So, I mean,
okay, it won't be sweet for them either.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of I think it's going to be a prickly patch for just about everyone. I don't know what Napoli's doing. Let me pull that up.
I have Napoli up here. I think we're going to see a full on Spalletti meltdown because first game is Juventus away, then Sampdoria home, then Fiorentina home in the Coppa, and then Bologna away, or Salernitana and Venezia then. But then they have us, Barcelona, Cagliari, and then Barcelona again, with Lazio and Milan. So I think it's either they're going to go out, prove everyone wrong, be 2 points behind us, or they're going to go down to sixth.
I think what it is like, they just lost to Spezia, for fuck's sake. Like, we were just reading that they want – well, I was just reading on Twitter that they've already decided that they're going to fire Thiago Motta and that they're just waiting for the year to change to save him some money or something like that, right? And this is the team that you just lost to, man. Like, and again, as Inter fans, what, 3-4 years ago, we remember, like, we were off to great starts and stuff, and then shit would just go, like, just fall off. The wheels would just fall off the car. Like, we don't know what the hell happened. Of course, here we could point out to direct injuries that he's had to deal with, let's be fair. But I don't think it's supposed to be that bad, man. I don't think you're supposed to be losing to Spezia. What other questionable matches they lost, man? Like, something's going on that I can't fully put it on the injuries. Like, Spalletti is there's something he needs to fix, and before we know it, they're gonna lose that fourth spot because Juve are what, 4 points behind them now, 5, you know, and
they're close,
we just
yeah.
passed the halfway mark, so we have a whole half of the season left. So Juve have all day to pretty much catch up and get a fourth spot at the end of the season.
So since November, right before they played us, it was a 1-1 draw, Napoli Verona. They lost to us. Lost to Spartak Moscow, beat Lazio, drew with Sassuolo, lost to Atalanta, beat Leicester City, lost to Empoli, beat Milan, and lost to Spezia. That is a very Luciano Spalletti run right there, I would say.
Wait, yeah, so very if we count down out the Milan win, when was the last time they won in the league? If we don't count Milan.
Napoli?
Yeah, Napoli. If you don't count the win against Milan.
They beat Lazio on the 28th of November. Almost a month.
Almost a month. And even Milan they won with a very questionable referee decisions.
I mean, we gotta thank Macedonia for that one though. I mean, Elmas goal.
Also, shout out. Yeah, sorry, go on.
No, go on.
I just wanted to say shout out Azuri fan Phil for constantly providing us memes and us being making
the opportunity to comment. I'm not commenting on that.
Fuck him.
The previous win for Napoli before Lazio was the 31st of October against Salernitana. So exactly like 2 months, two wins in 2 months.
Ooh, that's rough, man.
They won against Salernitana at the end of October. They haven't won until the end of November. And now they've only won against Milan. So basically like exactly 2 months and two wins. That's it.
Yeah, but how does that reflect on Milan too, though? Like, you face the most out of form Napoli you can possibly face, and you still lose. I mean, of course, the injuries and everything, whatever you want to say.
It's just a matchup. I think at the end of the day, a matchup, a bit of luck. You know, some teams are unlucky, so I think it's a combination of many things. But just a matchup. You know, Teo Hernandez can have a bad game, and someone else can have a good game. I think it's like.
But if we want to talk about form, though, like I feel like Milan's form weren't the best either because I think before they played Napoli, what was it? They drew to Udinese, and then I'm not sure what happened before that. I remember the loss to Sassuolo and stuff. Mm-hmm. So their form has been questionable as well. That's why I had brought up the question because based on form, compared to the teams that are chasing us, we're a level ahead, you know, and. I'm not going to lie, it would have been good. It would have felt good to see them, to see Milan at least draw, and then we would have been 6 points ahead of them going into that tough January. But listen, man, we're the champions. We have the better squad. We've been raving about it all season long. So no excuses. I'm sure they didn't do us any favors with that calendar. It could have been done better. But, hey, we play the games that are on our calendar, and at the end of the day, everybody plays everybody. So it's going to even out. If we have a tough January, hopefully by March or February, the other teams will have tough months and then we'll catch up. So I feel like we'll be okay, man.
Yeah. You know, getting the points ahead of Napoli here this week, I feel like is big. Getting the points on Milan have been big going into this new year because we kind of need that. You know, you want that little bit of a cushion when you're going into such a high pressure month that,
Sure.
If you lose points, you're not dropping your head. You're like, ah, shit, you know, we'll get them in the next one. You know, we'll get the points back. Like Milan has to play Napoli. Juve has to play Milan. Like, you know, anything can happen. I feel like, you know, whatever happens, I feel like there will be times where, you know, it'll look like we're running away with it. But then, you know, we'll probably lose a match and, you know, we'll come back down and we'll be at this kind of point where you're like, it could go either way. But I feel like, you know, almost like these tough winter months that every team is going to have, like, I feel like they're all going to even out in the wash and we're probably still going to be like 4 or 5 points ahead.
I hope so too. But it's like when I was looking in comparison to the others, like, it's like all of our shit is congested in like that first 2 months, all of our tougher fixtures, you know? And I guess that should mean on the other end that we should have like a cakewalk to finish the season, but I just hope we come out of that unscathed. Because when you think about it, all those high pressure matches, Mikey, do you still have it pulled up?
I think for who?
For us.
Yeah,
I have it as well.
What do you want to see? The end of the season?
No, not the end of the season. Give me our next 5 matches, for example. I know we have Bologna coming.
Bologna, Lazio, Supercoppa versus Juventus, Atalanta, Empoli Cup. Venezia and Milan.
All right, so those matches, let's say Lazio, you have Lazio followed by Juve, followed by Atalanta, right? Okay, so those are matches, those are three big matches that you're going to have to expend all your energy, you're going to give everything you have, and those big matches, they usually require more recovery. That's why it's always good when you play a Juve, you have a Venezia after that, and you know you're good. But having to play a Lazio where you're going to, especially with what happened the first match, I'm sure it's in everybody's head, we're going to pretty much bust our guts trying to beat them because of the way they beat us. Hold on, Risto. After that, we're going to have to go and expend the same amount of energy against Juve again. And then after that, it's going to be Atalanta, another big match. So, you know what I mean? We're not really going to get to recover from expending all our energies in those big matches where our concentration has to be on 100, or physicality has to be on 100. Tactically, we have to be well prepared. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, we don't have that off match that we could say, like, okay, you know what? We could beat this team, not at our best, you know?
Yeah. But how's this for an end of the season? You have Juve on the 3rd of April. Then after that, Verona at home, Spezia away, Roma at home, Udinese away, Empoli home, Cagliari away, and Sampdoria at home on the last day.
Udinese in the last three matches. No, thank you.
Nah, they'll be safe by then.
Like, they'll be safe by then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be chilling.
I just wanted to point out that the three games that Dave mentioned, so you're playing Lazio at home on a Sunday, Juventus on a Wednesday, and Atalanta on a Sunday again. So it's basically in a span of 1 week.
And isn't the Juventus match in Saudi Arabia or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So the jet lag, the travel time.
No, the Copa, the Super Copa?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
No, they're playing it at San Siro, right?
I don't think so. Wasn't there like a deal?
I remember reading that as well, Mikey, but I also remember saying...
It says venue Giuseppe Meazza.
Oh. That changed a lot, then. That changed a lot.
So you're basically
winning that. We better be winning that. Juve at home in a big match like that, like, that would be a big statement of intent. I think I was talking about that on the last episode, that if you win that Copa, like, if you absolutely – this is very hypothetical. If you absolutely stomp out Juve in that, you're set for the rest of the season. Those guys are cruising. Yeah.
Just one more remark, sorry. Mm-hmm. So basically we have Lazio at home, no traveling. Juventus at home, no traveling. Atalanta, Bergamo, very close. You have Empoli at home, no traveling. You have Venezia at home, no traveling. You have Milan at home, no traveling.
Oh,
so basically,
okay.
Since Lazio until Milan, that's exactly 1 month. You have no traveling at all except Bergamo for Atalanta.
Okay.
That's like 40 minutes
away. That's right around the corner here.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And that's huge when you point that out towards the recovery period.
Yeah, man, and that's why I wanted to make sure I brought that point up, because I was thinking about it. Like, it's always cool. You play Juve, and then you got Spezia or Venezia next. So you're like, okay, you know what? You could use that match as a recovery match, more or less. You don't play your best players. You know, you're not expending as much energy. You expect to be able to beat that team on third gear, fourth gear. But if you play, you finish playing Lazio, then you have Juve in a cup, and then you have Atalanta. You know, like. I don't know, man. That squad depth is gonna have to come through, because everybody's gonna have to play a role in that week or so of tough scheduling. But hey, guys, listen, we haven't gotten into the awards yet. Look at the time. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to get through the comments, and that was gonna be kind of, you know, my divider between, you know, sections of the episode. So let me go ahead and update this. I forget what we got off on. I think we got off on you know, talking about if we were going to run away with
the
league.
Ask Ian what he got off on.
Huh?
Sorry?
Oh, the tangent. No, it was Dave started the tangent. It's fine.
No, Dave understood. Never mind.
Never mind. Yeah, I was trying not to get into that. So. No, I was trying to ignore it. So moving right along. Let me go through these comments. So starting at the top, we have Jordan Beard. He says, nice bass back there. I don't think – no, my bass is right there. I actually do have one. So that's actually really good guessing. But, no, those are snow skis. I'm back in my parents', you know, home as well. So, I mean, it's just all kinds of shit. This is like my childhood bedroom. That's why there's like airplanes on the fucking wall. Like, it's a kid's bedroom. Like, but – bass is right here.
Ooh.
You have a bass? But yeah.
Ready for speed these bar.
Ready for what? All right.
Move along, Mikey. Move along.
Moving right along. Logan's a nice mug. Yeah, I'm trying to keep caffeine in my body. If one of you can discern this,
Give it to Thomas. Translate. Give it to Thomas.
I get
no, not another stray.
I was about to say I got the FYI part. That's the only part I understood.
Your name is minute 45. Or... Thank you.
Mikey, say thank you, Ekaterina.
All right, I'm gonna actually go to some real comments. Fern asking thoughts on Bremer. I mean, yes. I thought he was good tonight. He seemed like the really solid of the three center backs there. I mean, there was a play early in the first half where Lautaro got by him and he got away with a push in the back. But I mean, other than that, like, he looked really solid. I mean, he seems to be, you know, living up to the hype. You know, if that's a guy we can get, definitely get him.
For sure. Yeah, I like him a lot. I was really impressed with what I saw. For the last couple of years now, there have been talks of him being a special defender and all that stuff. But now I was watching this match with that fully in mind since we've been linked to him. But yeah, he had a pretty good game in my opinion. He showed why all the hype is. Like, he's good with the ball at his feet. He has pace. And he won a couple free headers as well. So all of those things are things that I like. And if we can get him, I definitely get him. I'll go even as far as saying that if we could replace De Vrij with him, I'm cool with that as well.
Yeah, you've been on the replacing De Vrij train for a little bit now. I agree. Like, if Conte comes in, you know, like 35, 40 million for De Vrij, yeah, you know, that switch, it might be the right time to make it.
100%.
As long as a player can come in and fit in and, you know, it doesn't need any transition period, that's the most important thing. Because we've seen how quickly Sensi adapted, and him and Barella as well. But Sensi went out to be injury prone. But I think that's the most important feature when you're buying a player that needs to be fitting within a system. Him just adapting as soon as possible. Because in a back three, in such a key area, for a coach that relies on moving a lot and understanding how the teammates move, that's key. But all in all, I like him. I like Becao as well from Udinese.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving right along. Fern also says pre-Conte era loses his match easily. Yeah, probably, maybe not loss, but it could be a very dull.
Definitely drawing it, yeah.
Yeah, an ugly nil-nil, or like we would have lost late, like giving up a late goal. Let's see what else we got. Thoughts on Milan channel wishing injuries on Inter. Oh yeah, I'm sure y'all saw that video. I mean,
yeah.
What even is Milan channel? Like, those guys just do what we do, but get paid to do it for another team. Like,
yeah, but it still, is Mikey. I mean, if we're being paid by Inter to do what we do, like, I'm sure a lot of shit we're saying we wouldn't be saying. I'm sure we wouldn't be.
Maybe we should.
Hey, from your lips to God's ears, bro. I mean, I'll drop out of school right now. But
Enter, if you're listening, send us a
They're
DM.
Not listening,
we can for now. Nah, we can
proposal,
work.
Man. Make sure the money's right.
No, I'm kind of scared if they do listen. I don't want to get like a cease and desist because we have the Bishone in the crest. So I can't be getting sued by Inter. That would suck.
Man, we ain't got nothing. What they suing us for, bro?
Because we're using the trademarks.
Hey, whoa.
We'll be okay. But what was I saying again?
Exactly. Moving on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, if we were getting paid to do this, like, right, we wouldn't be a lot of banter. We wouldn't be doing like we wouldn't be cracking jokes about Thomas if we were on Inter, Inter's dime, you know.
I would get sacked.
No, we would have to be professional. So yeah, to answer that question, man, I don't know. Like, I made sure I retweeted it because that's embarrassing. Like, pretty much, that's like the worst thing you could do as a competitor: wish injuries on people or purposely injure people. That's busly shit, and that's not classy. So I'm pretty sure they got reprimanded because it got quite enough retweets, so a lot of people saw it. So I'm sure there's gonna be something done to those guys, but yeah, that's coming. That's pretty scummy of them.
Sure, yeah. But we live in 2021 where any publicity is good publicity, even if it's bad publicity, you know?
Well, I mean, so, it wasn't even really that much publicity. Like, I mean, after, you know,
as long as it gets some traction,
I don't think anyone.
Yeah, but really still, as long as it gets some traction, I mean, you see, we get one retweet of one person and we get like, what, 12 followers in a day?
Sometimes, I'm not. That's a not so very humble brag right there.
No, just saying, like, this is how the world works, you know. Any publicity is good publicity. I mean, Phil can go and clown himself all day. Someone tweets at him, haha, go make coffee for the senator. Everyone's talking about him.
No comment. Moving right along.
The podcast
still.
Making enemies, boy.
Yeah, Jordan kind of getting me with a gotcha there when I said it was a kid's bedroom. He says, kids? I mean, nah, not really. I mean, it's like all my teenage shit. I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, it's not kid. I mean, I'm fighting for my life out here.
Mike, don't dig up your grave.
Hey, I'm not in the same place as him, guys. I'm not into the same thing he's into.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm actually in my room and not someone else.
Like, what can I say? Like, I'm in an adult room, guys.
Which podcast member has their own views, and the Brothers of the World podcast is not about all the views.
All right. So, moving right along. Yeah, let's go ahead and get. What were we saying that we were gonna do for September? Man, will y'all let me change the subject?
Award show.
Yeah, all right. All right. I'll wait.
Peach command never ever.
Okay. I'm composed, bro. We're composed. Let's go. Let's do the awards.
Okay. So what did we have written down? I put it back in the chat. Let's see, what kind of awards can we do? What's a low hanging player of the year? I guess it's kind of hard to do these this year because, I mean, we've had two very different teams.
Sorry, are we doing the year or the season?
Year as in like
year. All right.
Yeah, like 2021. I mean, if you want to do half season, I mean that would be
easier. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking more like mid season awards, you know.
Okay, well we'll do mid season then because that makes
you know how Serie A at the end of the year to give everybody an award. So like so far the season, who do we think is leading it? So since it was like me insisting, let me take the lead. First off. And the most important is MVP. You know, as we know, last year the reigning MVP is Lukaku. He's at Chelsea. Right now, if I had to decide who is my front runner for Serie A MVP, it would have to be Brozovic. The numbers don't add up. I mean, you can't pull up stats and say that this guy's putting MVP numbers, but watching him play, watching Inter play and seeing how important this guy is, my first MVP right now, so far, halfway through the season, my halfway MVP is Marcelo Brozovic. What do you guys got?
You know, I think that's probably the best shout. I mean, that's been the most consistent guy. We see, like, how much he puts in with distance, how many passes this guy puts in, like, it's ridiculous. Like he had over 100 passes a couple of weeks ago, I believe. So it's got to be.
There was a map that they had posted of his, the ground he covers, and this guy was all over the pitch, you know, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But Mikey, I guess I'll let you ride my coattails on that one.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, Brozovic, I mean, because that's been the most continuity we've had between, you know, managers was the word I was looking for, because I mean he's doing the same things pretty much he was doing under Conte and didn't have any issues. Like, I mean, the defense now is looking great, but at the beginning of the season, like, we were, you know, a little worried. The attack, like, Lautaro's been Lautaro. I mean, he's scoring, but he's also missing a lot. Dzeko, I want to give him some credit because at the beginning of the season, I mean, he came right in and started scoring when we really needed it. So I got Brozovic, and then Dzeko gets, like, you know, honorable mention.
You're missing one person.
Hagan-chan. Well, you do it on your turn. He did his. You do yours.
Yeah, yeah. All right. You get. All right. No, all right. Hristo doesn't get to speak. His is just gonna be Handanovic.
Who you got? Yeah, who's your league MVP so far mid season?
All right. I don't want to copy you, but it is Brozovic, but for the different reasons. Not because he puts up 100 passes, not because he's solid, consistent, anything, but because of the tempo that he can dictate. When we need to slow down, he slows it down. When we need to cross it to the other side of the pitch, he can cross it to the other side of the pitch. You know, you see him sacrificing himself and his numbers, his goals and statistics has never been lower, I think, since he started Inter halfway through. One goal and one assist this year. This season so far, because he has dropped him back, so he can allow Bastoni and Skriniar to push forward. You know, I think for that reason alone, him influencing the game. Jesus Christ, Mikey! Him influencing the game through his actions alone, I think he's our most important player. And since we're on top of the league, I think he's the league's MVP.
That's my logic as well.
Y'all are so boring.
Cool. It's Handanovic, isn't it? It's Handanovic. 16 long balls today against Torino. You just can't beat that.
Inventing football, inventing the pyramid 2.0. I want to say Çalhanoğlu because he came to Inter as a free signing, trying to replace Eriksen, who was beloved by everyone. After the incident, there was a lot of baggage that he needed and a lot of space to fulfill, I think. And effectively, not only he was so good, he showed up in a big style. He changed the style of play that he used to be, a classic number 10, as we said all year long. He's not a classic number 10 at Inter. He's doing much, much more. He's tackling, he's running a lot. He's assisting, scoring. He has like 13 goals plus assists in 17 Serie A matches. So, you know, for a new club, someone like him to have such an impact, it's amazing.
Well, and to have the balls to take that penalty against Milan and then celebrate it.
Hey, Uncle Sean is saying you gotta say his boy's name the right way here. So look at the comment.
It's not Hakan Çalhanoğlu.
The G is silent, he said.
Çalhanoğlu.
Yeah, yeah.
Çalhanoğlu.
Oh.
Okay. All right, moving on. So I guess right now, so far, for midseason MVPs, we have, I said Brozovic, Ian said Brozovic, Mikey said Brozovic as well, and Risto said Çalhanoğlu without the G. All right? So let's move on to...
You sound like Jay Khalid.
No.
Bro, have you seen the clip?
Let's move on to the striker of the year.
Wait a sec. Do you know the clip with DJ Khalid when he's saying baklava? Baklava.
Yeah.
I'll send it in the chat. Right,
put it in the chat.
Okay. Yeah. But, go on, Mike.
Mid-season strikers. To me, that one's clear as well. For me, right now, mid-season, it has to be Vlahovic. What do you guys think?
Okay, so we're going whole league.
No,
of course. I wasn't just talking Inter. Like,
I was thinking about it. Doesn't matter then.
Okay, full league. I mean, what even are the? What's the scoring looking like?
It's him, Immobile,
Andrea Petagna.
Yes, sure.
Giovanni Simone.
Simi, nah, I mean,
fuck him. When he scored all his goals in my parlay, he doesn't score. Fuck him. David Beckham in the chat. Good shout. Beckham's been putting up numbers. Good one, Jordan Beard.
I guess Vlahovic. I mean, you got to go with the guy who's scoring the most and scoring the most consistently. Like, he's going crazy right now. Like, this is his coming out season for real. Like, I mean, he's had good seasons, but, like, this is the one where he's like, yeah, I can do this and I can replicate this. So, yeah.
Yeah, and he has Vlahovic the confidence of it. Yeah, absolutely.
I said Giovanni Simone. I think it's much harder to score in a Verona team coached by Igor Tudor with a midfield of Tameze, Lazovic, who is there, Antonin Barak, and guys like that. and to score like 12 goals and 2 assists in a Verona team that hasn't scored in previous seasons, it's an accomplishment in of its own. We've seen how tough it is to score. We've seen Lasagna struggle to score, and you know, Kalinic,
I mean, he can't score anyway.
And players that has fair again, but like it's hard to score a team with such a system, with a coach that's not, I mean, let's be honest, not that good, with a midfield that's not providing as much. But yeah, I've been impressed with him. If I had to say, it has to be him.
Me, I'd probably give you a little pushback, because like it seems like his goals all came in like this one month of crazy form he had, where he just couldn't stop scoring, and then he's cooled off a lot since then, you know. So for the consistency part of it, because it seems like every match we turn on the game and you see Vlahovic scoring, you know. So that was the only thing. But yeah, Simeone is definitely a good shout, even if I like cracking on him, because I personally don't feel like he's too much of a good footballer at all. But hey, he's been in good form, so that's not a bad shout. Yeah,
I agree with you when it comes to like being a footballer or good or bad. I don't rate him at all, but like he has been very decent, actually very good so far this season, so nothing but praises so far.
Okay, yeah, as Sharma mentioned, he's only scored in 7 matches. That's less than half of the matches that he's played, you know. So that means he had a period of form where he had a couple doubles. Yeah, what, 4 hat tricks?
No, he had 4 goals in a match.
Oh, he had 4 goals in one match. Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, I remember that match. He had 4 goals in one match, you know. That alone will set you up for good numbers. Did you give us one, Ian?
I think it has to be Vlahovic. Okay. Simply put, best striker, even if he didn't score today, or I think like 3 or 4 game weeks ago, he's still head and shoulders above any other striker. Lautaro was too inconsistent for me. Juventus strikers I won't even touch. Milan strikers are more or less on the injury list all the time.
Immobile? No one ever shouted
Immobile. Yeah.
Honestly, I think he kind of piped down since the Euros. I'll check how much goals he scored, but I don't think he's doing that well.
He's second in the league.
Is he fuck?
I pulled up.
Yeah. Nah, seriously?
Yeah, unless I can't goals. Read.
13, yeah. 13 goals, true.
I mean, he's got more non-penalty goals than Vlahovic. I think.
Ooh.
No. He has one less. But
no way.
It's in less matches. He has 13 and 15, 3 are penalties. So 10 and 15 non-penalty goals.
I mean, okay, but just, you know, when you watch the game, right? When we're playing Fiorentina. Yeah, when we're playing Fiorentina or when we're playing Lazio, all right, I would much rather be scared. I am much more scared of Vlahovic than of Immobile.
I'm more scared of Felipe Anderson than any of them.
First of all, yeah, true. No, but still, like, even that, I just haven't been that impressed with him. Maybe it's because Vlahovic, I haven't watched him enough. Yeah, like, I know age doesn't matter here because this is current season and all, but I just think Vlahovic, if he stays in the Serie A, which rumors are he doesn't want to move to the Prem, fair enough. Sure. I think he could be the best striker for 5-6 years next six years. Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, okay. Who's the real competition? Lautaro, who goes on stints of not scoring and then stints of scoring, you know?
Yeah, I guess Osimhen, because everybody's been waiting for him to do it, but he hasn't. He's been unlucky with injuries, but yeah. Okay, true. If we move on to midfielders now, I don't want to take the lead on that one now. I'll let somebody else start because I've been taking the lead.
Well, we said Brozovic as, you know, player of the season. I feel like he can get that one by default. I actually want to go back to, unless anyone else has anything they want to add on that. Because you said Calhanoglu, so. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
That's probably who I'd go for midfielder, for best midfielder so far halfway through. Either him or my boy Zielinski. Or Fabian as well.
Fabian?
I'd have to see the numbers. I think Fabian has, what, like 4 goals or 5? I'd probably say Zielinski before I say Fabian.
Well, I just remember Fabian fell off pretty hard last season. It's good to see
that. No, but this season he started very well.
Yeah, good to see that he's making a comeback. I mean, some midfielders play really well under Spalletti, and then others, you know, don't. Mm-hmm. It's very hit or miss.
Yeah, Zielinski is 5 goals, 5 assists, bro. So, let me see. Fabian is 5 goals, 2 assists.
But I think we're not doing Barella justice. You know, to have 7 assists, none of them set pieces. Like Calhanoglu has 5 set pieces. You know, Barella has the most assists in the league. Next is Berardi, then is Sergej Milinković-Savić and Luis Alberto. Mm-hmm. I think Barella is the perfect modern day. Is the perfect modern day box to box player because he can defend, he can go up front and do stuff, he can assist, he can cross the ball, he can dribble to an extent. I really don't like him when he dribbles, but he can do that. Sure, he can score as well. The only thing he lacks is, for me, height and strength. But these are 2 things that you can't really influence a player on. You can't really judge him by that, just because that's how he's born, you know. Unless he goes full Goretzka mode and just buffs up insanely over the next year.
Go get him some Gasparini Gatorade.
No, Barella is definitely a good shout. But for me, it has to be it's either Hakan or Zielinski, because those guys are putting up crazy ass numbers. Hakan 6 goals, 7 assists. Zielinski 5 goals, 5 assists. Of course, numbers aren't the only thing that matter. But it's those 2 guys for me. Barella definitely deserves a shot. Pellegrini before his injury, absolutely. Like Sharma mentioned, who else?
Just looking at the assists and goals scored, Pašalić has 7 goals scored, 5 assists. Kandreva has 6 goals scored and 5 assists, and Milinković-Savić has 5 goals scored and 6 assists. So those numbers, like 12 goals for or goals plus assists for Pašalić, who's not even a regular for Atalanta, is kind of impressive.
Yeah, but then again, you're making the same mistake. Well, not mistake, the same judgment that you did with Simeone. I remember Pašalić had a game where he had a hat trick. You know.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that he's the best midfielder in the league.
I have a tough time, you know, giving a fair rating to any Atalanta player. Just because that system, like, spits out world-class looking players, but if they leave, like, it's the Gagliardini effect.
Ugh. No, but that was a good shot, but from Risto, because me personally, I've been basing my decisions mainly on the statistics, but we can't just disregard Pašalić. But I just remember that he had this one match, he had 3 goals and stuff like that, and so it's not like I want to give credit for consistency. I want to see that this match you perform, that match you perform, next match you perform, next match you perform. You know, as opposed to you find this one match where you just stat pad and stuff.
Yeah, okay. But my point was that, like, you cannot at the same time disregard someone's how good someone's doing because he's not playing a lot of the matches. Because Pašalić has, like, what, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 75 minutes. So he's not even playing a full match.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still scoring, and he's so versatile. I mean, I'm not choosing him, but I'm just giving an argument just for
sake. Yeah, it's definitely deserve to be in the conversation. Yeah, it's definitely a good shout.
But one thing with one thing with Pašalić is that in Gasperini's system, if I'm not mistaken, they play like 2 midfielders or 2 players right behind the striker, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's playing very far forward, you know, and in a system that is proven to score a lot of goals. Yeah. I think if we disregard the minutes, it's expected from the front three to score so many goals.
Yeah, Hakan would thrive in that role, for example.
Exactly. Hakan's
thriving in the role he's in. Let's go.
Hakan's thriving everywhere that isn't Milan.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere that's not Milan.
Okay, defender, guys. Defender, what do you guys got?
We have to be biased here, right?
No, we don't.
I was going to... Ah, shit. Skriniar? I mean, honestly. Like...
Bastoni? I'm going to Mike.
Oh. I was just gonna say Skriniar. I mean, it's pretty easy. Didn't DeVry got the actual award from the Serie A
two seasons ago?
Oh, 2 seasons ago. Who got it this past season?
Romero.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then he left. That's why.
Yeah. No, for me it would be Skriniar or Bremer. It's either them two. I'm not sure Tomori has been that good.
Yes,
I was just seeing the clip of him turning around like a yo-yo and stuff.
Now you're basing your decision off of
Koulibaly still had a good season.
Koulibaly has been, before he got injured,
Bro, Koulibaly is so good that it's not even a competition if he's healthy.
He's the best.
He's like classes above.
Yeah, he gets forgotten he's so consistently that good.
Not even that, he's being forgotten because Napoli play shit. And going to these patches of 2 wins per 2 months, you know? I think it's just that. But at the end of the day, it's a game about goals, you know? Whoever scores most, whoever concedes the less has the best defense, you know? Yeah. For that reason alone, I would pick someone from the best.
Exactly. Good shout, man, because the thing is, they're still the best defense, right? So, I don't know. Like me, I didn't give it much thought. I was like, yo, it's got to be either Skriniar or Bremer. But Koulibaly, man, when this guy's healthy, is without a doubt the best in the league. So
Napoli have still conceded one less than us. So
yeah, so they're still 14, the best defense. We've
conceded 15, best defense.
Okay. So this is Bristol's favorite category now.
Goalkeeper? All right. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I want to preface this with a little bit of a Handanovic call. At least for me, nobody else has to, but I want to just because, you know, we were talking earlier about how, you know, he's making the saves he needs to make right now.
Yeah.
And he does that. When that's all you need to ask him to do, he'll do it. But when he starts facing more shots than, you know, he needs, if he faces more than like 3 shots in a match, I mean,
he can concede a couple.
Yeah. That's when the problems start. But as long as he's only having to make like a couple of easy saves, he's going to look like one of the best keepers in the league. For me, I don't even know who to Cranio for getting the shit beat out of him in the couple matches ago. That was a great performance, even though he gave up a lot of goals. I mean, Handanovic has the most clean sheets. It's hard because...
Yeah, bro. That's crazy. It's like, that was one of the ones that it was not evident to me at all because I thought about it real quick.
It's not evident.
Nobody stood out.
I'm going to say Handanovic. I'm saying Handanovic, all right? Give it to Handanovic. All right? So far, mid-season, it has to be Handanovic. What is he on, a six clean sheet streak? You know what I mean? And he's conceded... one more goal than the next goalkeeper or whatever. So I don't know. We do have signs of him messing up and I don't know, man. I think I would give it to him by default because nobody really has been a standout for me.
Yeah.
Maybe Magnan, he started very well, but he got injured and when he came back, since he's came back, he's made some stupid mistakes. He's made stupid mistakes. Ospina.
Those are the two names that I wanted to mention. Like Magnan started very well after the injury. He's not himself. He's not the guy that started the season. And I was just looking at Ospina's stats. He was like 3 times on the bench, and all of those 3 times, it was Mere who replaced him. And all of those times was in the Europa League they were playing the Europa League. So he has played all the matches in, bar 2 matches in Serie A so far. Mm-hmm. He's been impressive, although no one expects anything from him.
I
don't feel confident at any of them.
You know, Handanovic, by default, you know, has a great defense in front of him. Ospina has Koulibaly in front of him. As a fellow short king, I'll give it to Cranio. Ospina because Ospina's pretty short too. So, I mean, he's doing that and still being like oh, what is he like? No, he's 6 foot, I think. But I mean, he's not one of the taller keepers.
Who, Ospina?
Yeah.
Yeah,
6 foot, 6 foot one.
Okay.
I mean, I'd give it to him too, just to not be too biased about Inter. And but yeah, well, the more we think about it, there really hasn't been a standout goalkeeper for us to be like. Cause like last year, it wasn't even a question. Everybody was like, okay, Donnarumma, all season long, you know. But it hasn't been the case this year. Wait. Who you guys give manager of the year?
Wait, can I just get the goalkeeper first?
Yeah,
because I have a very methodical answer that I spent the whole 3 minutes while you were discussing it.
Let me
show
you. I'm not looking for formulas and stuff.
Go on. Guess it.
Silvestri.
No.
Musso?
Dave? No. I'm torn between Ospina for the simple fact that he has least considered goals per game, he has the most clean sheets with Handanovic, and has one of the best save percentages in the league with 76, or Sergio Romero from Venezia.
Oh,
just because most saves in the league, pretty high save percentage, 71%. And whenever I see him, I think he's still a good goalkeeper. I think without him, Venezia would be even more fucked.
Without a doubt.
But I only say this because there isn't a really standout goalkeeper this year, like you guys said. Like,
no, for sure.
You have Handanovic, who is error-prone. You have Szczesny, who is error-prone. You have Ospina, who can have his blunders. You have Manyan, who... Sure, he started
out
great.
He's out of form right now, it seems.
Yeah, he's a bit out of form, I think. Who else do you really have? You have Pepe Reina, who everyone at Lazio hates. You have Vanimil Savage that was playing today. He was good, but let's be honest, he's not the best goalkeeper in the league. You have Musso, who... I don't know, I don't really like him.
Dragowski.
Then you have the goalkeepers that usually screw us over, you know. You have Skorupski, Audero, Consiglio. You have Vid Belec at Trianon, who is another Slovenian. Thank you very much. You have Ivan Provedel at Spezia. You have Kranjo, who, sure, he can be good, but we've seen him concede lots of goals, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that he's got, like, Caceres and Godin in front of him, who are both
old. Like, still, just looking at some of the goals he concedes, or even some of the plays that happen, you know, every goalkeeper is going to have the blunder. Some just concede more than other. I think at the end of the day, some concede more blunders than the other. You know, say what you want about Handano, I just didn't think he can be a top goalkeeper. It's just the simple. Yeah, sorry. Let me just finish the sentence. It's just from the simple fact that who concedes less blunders, you know, Handanovic, as much as he doesn't dive, still you can count on him. I think
you can't fuck up if you don't dive.
True.
Fair.
All right, go on, Chris.
So I just wanted to summarize. Like, if we're going off, if we're making like a podcast prediction,
we are making a podcast.
Yeah, but like as one. Instead of everyone, you know, saying a separate name, if you're going like, if you're choosing goalkeeper,
we had to have a consensus right here.
Consensus,
yeah.
Oh no, the views each member are for their own, not the podcast as a whole. You know,
that's right.
Oh, sorry.
All right. No, from what I've seen, I mean, all of us gave at least part of a shout to Ospina and part of a shout to Handanovic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we go Ospina then.
Ospina, let's go Ospina. Yeah.
Okay.
And then manager of the year, it's gotta be
Limone.
Yeah, to come in and be handed the plate of shit that he was handed in July, and then to turn that into, you know, this team that we're like just chilling. We're like, why did we only score one goal? Where were the other three? Like, I don't think anyone has done better in the league, and no one could do better in the league. So
I don't think we're giving him the credit he deserves.
We're not.
Think about this. Eriksen heart attack, scrambling for a midfielder. He gets in. Lukaku nonsense. Still having in mind that Eriksen thing. Uncertainty about the club's finances. Hakimi gone. Rumors about the club's finances constantly. Are we going to be sold? Are we not going to be sold? Who is going to be sold next between the players? are we going to renew this player's contract? Can we afford this player? Can we do this, do that? I think just fundamental aspect as well as obviously the game. We've been playing beautiful football. We've been top of the league. From the mental aspect, he's done great. You know, to come in and keep everyone steady, calm, cool, collected, you know, it's a tough thing to do. I think not many people are really talking about that. You know, you had a player get a fucking heart attack in the middle of a game. Everyone's had to be shook at first, didn't know what to do, you know, and to continue playing on that form, on the form of champions on that level. I think that's amazing.
No, for sure. Good shout. Especially as Inter fans, we know how fragile the environment could be. Of course, it hasn't been the case. It doesn't seem like it's been the case since Morata has been at the club. But all those things you just mentioned were a recipe for us to be fighting for seventh place, like a lot of people had us predicted in the beginning of the season. You know, because Conte, Lukaku, Hakimi, Eriksen, and bringing all those replacements in and making sure that they fit, making sure that not only the team doesn't lose the identity that they won with last year, but that they're also able to develop your ideas that you want to add. That's very tough to do, you know, because as all the players I've been mentioning it, okay, with Conte gave us this automatism and he gives us the mentality, the winning mentality, but with Inzaghi, there's more freedom and we're having fun and all that stuff. So we got to give him credit. I remember when Benitez came after Mourinho, there was an issue because he pretty much wanted to destroy everything Mourinho had built and pretty much start anew. And he didn't even last half a season. So everybody, all those managers, I'm sure they have their egos and I'm sure he doesn't want to go and win and for that credit to be given to Conte. So he was able to still manage his ego and still keep the things from Conte that were good and slowly but surely adding his football. So I'm sure that by the end of the season, we're probably going to be full Limone ball. But the fact that he's been doing this steadily without messing anything up, that's something that he definitely deserves credit for. So good shot, Ian.
So consensus, Inzaghi.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we don't even have to look at nobody else. Limone.
All right, I want to do one more question, and then we'll probably get out of here because we're almost hitting 90 minutes. But that's good because this is probably be our last episode of the year.
You got to give the people something with meat.
Yeah, 9, 10 days of not having us on here. So, you know, y'all have got 10 days to – well, over 10 days. Y'all have got like 3 weeks to get all this shit done, all this shit covered. We're going to have a quiz in the next episode, everything we said. So
I better have all the answers.
yeah. But I want to – it's a very inter-specific question, but who do you want to see more from in the second half when we come back? Like what player do you think – will have a good second half, or who do you want to see more out of in the second half? It's kind of hard to do because of, I mean, we're firing on all cylinders right now, but
no,
I still,
for me, it's go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Now, for me, it's one clear guy. It's Correa, bro. $31 million. I mean, euros we spent on him, and he's had a couple flashes, couple performances where he flashed what he could do. That's why he's pretty much cruising right now. He's going under the radar is because the team is playing well and we haven't needed him, but that's a big investment, you know, and I would like for him to at least score 10 goals by the end of the season. So that's the player that my eyes are going to be fixed on for the second half. And I'm going to be very critical of him if he's not performing, because that's a big investment.
I'm going to be straight up. I forgot about Correa.
See, that's a problem. That tells you that's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure because whoever you were going to bring up is not a $31 million player.
Not 31, but he was 15. Dumfries, I mean, he's starting to round into form now. He's got 3 goals now. But he can – I still think there's so much more for this guy to give. And, like, he's showing it. And, like, as he continues to develop, as he continues to understand the league, I think he could have some really good numbers. If he could figure out also how to get a cross off the ground or how to miss guys with that cutback, he'll have countless assists. I don't know what that sound is, but Dumfries for me, I think Correa is a good shout because I forgot about him. So yeah, definitely those two. But since I went Dumfries, I'm gonna stick with Dumfries. Ian, what do you think?
Now that you said Correa, I completely forgot about him. I'm just looking at the stats, you know, 12 games, four goals, and we all know those four
goals.
We're
just a bunch of spoiled brats right now, like forgetting about our $30 million striker on the bench. Shame on you guys. There's teams that can even spend $5 million on players, guys.
No, I think we forgot about him as well because we've been scoring so much. We didn't have like a problem in front of net.
Yeah.
So on one hand, sure, Correa, he has been Limone's guy. He was brought in on his request to fit in. So from on one hand that, on the other, it might be a very controversial one, but I think De Vrij, I still think he could be better. I still think basically the whole defense and the goal scoring aspect from the corners. We have one of the tallest defenses. We have Skriniar, who's very good at corners. We have Bastoni, who's very good at corners. De Vrij is always somewhere up there. I can't understand why those three don't score more goals in defense, in corners, sorry. And this might be controversial, but I think De Vrij hasn't been to the standard that we have been used to him. You know, everyone else is overshadowing him. Is Skriniar, Bastoni overlapping, and then Brozovic dropping deep. He's basically carrying all the ball. De Vrij, if you ask me, he's just a bystander in most of the plays. I don't know. Like, yeah, sure, he's obviously a good man-to-man, but, like, today I saw him. Some of the marking he's been doing on some players, it's very last second that he's been going forward or even trying to tackle them. You know, it's... Yeah. I don't think he's being his best self, let's say it like that. And with the stretch we're going to have in January and February, I think we need his best self. You
know? I agree. And I guess that's why I've been okay all year with, like, replacing them because... This is his fourth season in our shirt, and he's set some standards for himself that this season he's definitely fallen short of, without a doubt. It's been his, I'm not gonna say worst, because it's not like he's been bad. It's been a subpar season for his standards at Inter, and
he's still
having a good season.
Don't get me wrong.
He's still having a good season, but it's not badge wearing defender of the year type of season, and that's what he was, you know. So I say that to say this. I don't want people to think that I have a whole agenda to force him out or, and I want him to leave like he's a problem on the team. But my whole thing with being okay with selling him is because Morata did say that the only way we're going to be able to invest is by sacrificing players. And to me, he's the best player that we could sacrifice right now. He's about to be 30 years old. He's just coming off a subpar season, and we know that Conte could probably come in with a decent offer for him. So that was the only reason why I'd be okay with selling him.
Premier League money as well, yeah?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Could be getting a lot.
Risto, what do you think?
I mean, the answer was the same as last year. As long as Stefano Sensi is at Inter, I will be wishful in thinking that he could actually be the guy that he was for the first 2 months while he was at Inter. And I know it's a wishful thinking. And yesterday or today, I saw Sensi that was afraid to get into duels and, you know, get stuck in a sense, and was not trying to be the guy that he was the first 2 months because he relies a lot on his movement, his low gravity movement, and he's not the same player that he was. So hopefully he can, but I'm very pessimistic about that topic.
Yeah,
that's because he's vegan, not enough protein, weak bones.
That's what it is.
Bones.
No, I just think his confidence gone. I don't think he's in Inzaghi's plans. I just think he's waiting for a move. He's waiting for his agent to call and be like, hey, we're going back to Sassuolo, or hey, we're going somewhere else. Maybe even Conte throws in a little bid. Who knows?
I doubt that.
Sensi in the Premier League, mate.
Yeah, I doubt that.
I don't know, maybe.
Broken and have like a Chachkalitza. Come on, man.
Bro, the only feasible solution is to go to the MLS and live the best life that he can.
He would be the next Giovinco in MLS.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
I'd go watch him.
Have you heard about, I think it's Insigne getting offered? crazy, stupid amounts at Toronto.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, they're missing that.
Can you imagine Insigne at, what, 30, 31? Leaving
31.
Naples. Naples.
There's no way he leaves.
Toronto.
Yo, the Italian Canadians are going to flip the fuck out.
A Surrey fan Phil's going to be like, hold up.
Across the border. Nah, but I think it's good that we all had different opinions there on that one. I like that it's a good variety of ideas, guys, that we want to see, you know, perform. Do you guys have anything else? I think we're caught up on everything in the comments.
We just hit the 90-minute mark, so that's perfect.
Yeah.
No last word. Force out in there. Everybody, enjoy your holidays. Enjoy your family. Love your family. And see you guys next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly put. We'll see you guys in the next one. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And we'll see y'all when we see y'all.